Right now, it's time for Talking Books, joined in the studio, as always on Wednesday morning, by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and the Town of Chapel Hill Community Arts and Culture Department, and probably four other departments the town's not letting us know about yet. Hi, how are you? Good morning.
The Department of World Domination.
Ooh.
That's not actually a department.
I think that's more of a Carbo thing.
I'm doing well. How are you gentlemen doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Can I finish that?
Yes.
1 degree closer to winning.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah,
I like that. Cool. So how are things going at the library?
Things are going well. We're open for browsing. People are loving it. People are wearing their masks. They're browsing. They're happy. The books are moving again. One of the most interesting things to watch, well, interesting if you're librarian nerdy like we are, is as we're opening up browsing and there's more ways to get books in people's hands, our holds are decreasing a little bit.
Okay.
But they're still on all of those tables in the middle. So we're all sort of trying to figure out when they're going to shrink enough to put them back on the shelves and open up that space again. It's been really fascinating to sort of watch how all of this has flowed. But things are going well. Open for browsing. Still don't have furniture out. Meeting rooms and study rooms still aren't open, but we are...
You can browse the shelves.
You can browse the shelves, yeah. And people are loving it.
Did you keep track of what the... I'm sure the answer is no, but it's an interesting question. Like, what was the first book someone checked out after they...
Oh, I wish we had.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Because it had been like a year plus.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. And some people, you know, still just like to come in and just sort of literally walk the shelves.
Oh, I love doing that.
Whether they check out any books, they just like to be among the books,
yes.
Which is great.
Yeah. Very cool.
And then on the arts and culture side of things, this week we have another movie under the stars.
Moana.
I feel like we should have like some theme music, you know.
Movie under the stars.
Hey. Yes. So Moana last week went great. I could not be there. But we had 100 and some people come.
Awesome.
Everybody came, loved the movie, cleared out easily, loved being out, loved seeing a movie. Under the stars and the trees at Forest Theater. So it's tomorrow night, August 5th, Forest Theater, free showing of Moana. It'll start around 8-ish.
Yeah. Movies under the stars.
Da, 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 da.
And the weather should be nice, too, for it, too, right?
Yeah, like, the weather is awesome now.
We got the rain out of the way yesterday, so Thursday's looking good.
Loving
it. All right, so we're talking books with Susan Brown. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org is the website for the library, so head there and check things out. This day in history is our prompt for today, right?
Yes, when we don't have anything else to talk about.
Nothing else to talk about.
We can't figure out anything else.
Just nothing in the news this
week.
Fall
back on that old gem.
Yep.
This day in history.
Man, those jingles sound suspiciously similar.
We love to sing this song, yeah. All right.
Who's on first?
You.
I am?
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it. The person who asks is the person who's first.
Okay.
That's correct.
To start things off on a very positive note, when I looked at this day in history, the first thing that jumped out to me, because, you know, I am kind of dark and twisted in my reading taste, not in my personality.
Of course, yeah, of course.
This day in 1892, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Andrew and Abby Borden were found hacked to death in their home, which led to putting their daughter, Lizzie Borden, on trial in what became the trial of the century.
Ooh.
Do we have a jingle for that? No, we don't have a jingle for
it's
that.
It's the trial of the century.
Well, there's the song from Ragtime. It was the crime of the century.
That's
crime
right.
of the century.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Lizzie Borden. I have a weird obsession of reading about Lizzie
Borden.
Yeah,
we were talking about this. Like, you've read a bunch of Lizzie Borden books.
I've read a lot of Lizzie Borden books
over
the years.
What got you into being obsessed with Lizzie Borden specifically?
Dark, twisted murder stories.
Nonfiction books, like fictionalizations.
I am going to recommend one of each because there are a lot out there. The fiction book that I want to recommend came out in the last 3 or 4 years. It's called See What I Have Done, and it's got awesome cover art. It's by Sarah Schmidt, and she sort of rethinks this whole case and this story and really goes into the family. So she really pulls out all of the characters and the sort of doubles down on the Borden home was lacking in love, and Lizzie and her sister were trying to leave, and then she casts Lizzie is sort of thinking about what happened, but with some memory troubles and some trauma and emotional scarring. And I don't think she really, in the end of it, gives you any definition, but she sort of recasts the story in this fictional way that's very atmospheric and really, really interesting. The nonfiction book that I want to recommend is called The Trial of Lizzie Borden, and it's by Kara Robertson. And I think that it's one of the most in-depth. She studied this case for like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's a pretty straightforward, compelling nonfiction take on it. And I was reading an article where she took a bunch of modern-day lawyers and criminal investigators, and they looked at the whole thing, and then they ran a fresh jury trial with people today. And of course, Lizzie was found non-guilty at the time, but I think it was unanimous or close. Today's jurors, based on this, found her guilty.
Ooh.
So.
But if it was not unanimous, it would have been a hung jury, and then.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it, like, they went through the whole thing and retried the case with modern, you know, techniques and modern processes. But anyways, those two books, one fiction, one nonfiction, because this day in history.
Has there ever been a book that's just called, like, The Trial of the Century or The Crime of the Century, where it just, like, compiles stories about each of the, like, most prominent trial of the century cases from, like, the 19th or the 20th century or whatever?
I don't know, but somebody should write
someone
it.
Someone should write
that,
right?
If you don't stop spinning up new podcasts, I swear to God.
This is not a new podcast. This is a new book. This is 300 pages of pure gold.
It's an easy podcast format, though.
Also,
one episode.
That's true, yeah.
There's too many podcasts already.
That's true.
I've got two.
Anyway, coming up, my podcast, Trial of the Century.
All right.
Yeah.
Steal
Who's
my
next?
Idea.
I suppose I've been talking too much, so it is
for it.
Probably me. On this day in history, you know, really pivoting off murder and death, we're going to talk about Babe. Everybody loves Babe. And Babe, the movie, was released exactly on this day, August 4th in 1995.
John Goodman was so good in that.
Is John Goodman
no.
in that? I didn't look
no,
at the cast list.
No, John Goodman was in The Babe, which
came out
around the same time.
But the cast list of Babe is actually pretty stacked. I forgot that James Cromwell was there because I was too young to like know who James Cromwell
was. I
was
going to say, how do you not remember James Cromwell? Yeah, if you were like four at the time.
I definitely remember James Cromwell. But yeah, it's based on a book, Dick King Smith's novel, The Sheep Pig, released in the United States as Babe, the Gallant Pig. And I feel like that is just about the palate cleanser we needed after talking about murder. This little inspiring tale about a little pig herding sheep and stuff. I don't know. You should read it to your kids.
I didn't realize that Babe was based on a book, so thank you for dropping some knowledge.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it sounds like the book really expounds upon some of the themes that are in the movie that you don't really notice as a kid, because it's a little Animal Farm-y in that there's things happening amongst these animals that can be fairly dark upon closer examination, and each animal at the farm, at Farmer Hoggett's farm, is trying to earn its living so that it doesn't get eaten by him and his family, and that is macabre to say the least. Oh man, I gotta find a purpose so this farmer does not kill and consume me. Like, oh man, that's horrifying. And that happens a lot more in the book than it does in the movie, which I guess is probably what helped rocket the movie to commercial success and made people like Susan not realize that there was a book at all.
It's a little dark.
It's more than a little dark.
But not quite as dark as murder.
Not quite.
Anyway, back to murder. So in 1830, on this day in history, plans for the still new city of Chicago were officially laid out. And I'm fascinated by like the early days of that city, because not last time I was in Chicago, but the time before last, Brad and I took the Chicago riverboat architecture cruise, where you're sailing up the river and the guide is pointing out all these buildings and telling you about them and the history of early Chicago and how it was planned and unplanned. And then there was the fire, and that was actually an opportunity to rebuild the city in a actually way that makes sense, and that's what launched the city into the stratosphere we know it in today. And all of that kind of revolves around 1893 is when the, you know what book I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I said Chicago, early days.
And murder,
right.
Moida.
1893 is when the World's Fair was, and that was part of the planning of the city. So The Devil in the White City, Eric Larson. One of the best nonfiction books of the century, I think, or one of the most popular, certainly.
Yes, it's so good. And that is a book that I wish I could reread for the first time again and experience it again. Because when I read that book, I was just like, I've never read anything like this. And I just kept going. And I've reread it since. But that first time experience of reading that book was just...
Yeah.
It hits different.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. So those are our recommendations. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org, the website for more information on the Chapel Hill Public Library. Browsing is open again. So head there, wear your masks, head into the building, browse the shelves, just walk around and look at the books. Haven't gotten a chance to do that in a while. Susan Brown, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, y'all.